of Jerusalem. I get excited when I hear the word Jerusalem. Jerusalem's used in the Bible 767 times. I wonder if God was trying to tell us something. It's recorded 767 times, the word Jerusalem. I was reading about their celebration. I get stuff from the Temple Institute, and I was reading about Jerusalem Day this last week, and of course I always get excited because, see, Jerusalem is the key of everything. You don't understand. It's just it's the apple of God's eye. It's as you were singing, Mark. I'm not making this up. I thought about Christ coming. One day he's going to come right down. Do that Eastern. It's all, there's the Eastern Gate, and it's all concreted up. It's been concreted up for years. And they know the Messiah's coming, so the Arabs, they put a cemetery to try to make it condemned ground. Trust me, that's not going to stop the Messiah. And Jesus, Brother Marty, one day he's going to come at the end of that tribulation. We're going to be in heaven with him during that 7 years, but we're going to come down on white horses. And he's going to go right through that Eastern Gate. It's so exciting. And then as you sang, I thought about Revelation 21 because you sang about the new Jerusalem coming down from God. Oh, folks, just study, take a study of the word Jerusalem. It's so great. 44 years ago, in 1967, on June 7th, Six-Day War, the Israelites took control of Jerusalem. In that Six-Day War, 6 million Jews took on 300 million Arabs, and they whooped the fire out of them. And what I'm trying to tell you is it was God. And so 44 years have passed since they took Jerusalem back. See, Jerusalem wasn't in their control for almost 2,000 years. Jerusalem's the holy city. And now for 28 years now, they've celebrated Jerusalem Day. And we got a stupid president and people in the Congress and people in the White House talking about giving back Jerusalem and the land of... They're so stupid, they're dumber than dumb. And to be honest with you, I don't care if it's a Democrat or a Republican, anybody that starts talking about Israel and taking land away from Israel, I want to just grab them and strangle them. We need to love Israel. We need to stand, and if our politicians don't want to stand with Israel, we need to get rid of those politicians no matter what title they go under. And there ain't no such thing as Democrat and Republican when it comes to Israel. Jesus, our country's blessed because we've stood with Israel. God told Abraham, I'll bless them, Genesis 12, I'll bless them and bless you and curse them that curse you. You ever notice the nations that went against Israel and tried, they're cursed. Right. You ever notice the nations that stood with Israel? They've been blessed. America's been blessed more than anybody. Don't think America's greatness comes from America. America's greatness comes from God. And the sooner Americans find it out, the better. But I'm going to tell you right now, I get excited. They got a picture here, Mark, of these paratroopers when they landed Coolidge in 1967. See, the reason Jerusalem's so important, it's got the temple site. The temple site's there. And the temple site's in the area that the Dome of the Rock. And in 67, those paratroopers stormed in and they took back the land that they hadn't had for over almost 2,000 years. It's exciting. I love preaching about it. And you say, what's so important about that? Because they're going to build a third temple. And that third temple is going to be, the Antichrist is going to come in that third temple. And that's during the tribulation, right before Christ comes back. And so what's the next thing coming up? That third temple's got to go up. Hello? And I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to build that third temple. Rather than people. And did you ever notice that little tiny speck of land about in the center of the earth? They don't bother nobody. But all the world is always troubled over them. Some areas of Israel is only 8 or 9 miles wide. And in other words, their country is only like 9 parts, not all, but just some parts, is only 9 miles wide. In other words, from here to Kent. I'm talking about their whole country. Hello? In some areas. How many are with me? And yet, why does all the world want to destroy Israel? Why do they care so much that Israel exists? Why is there so much animosity against them that they'd like to see all the Jews destroyed off the face of the earth? By the way, they never will be. But Jerusalem, because Jerusalem's a city of God. It's a holy city. The Bible says it's a city of truth. The Bible says it's the apple of God's eye. And so tonight I just want to share a few things about Jerusalem with you. It's not going to be an in-depth. Brother Mark, I do have all kinds of stuff on when they were in captivity and all kinds of stuff. I got tons of, we'll never get into it. But I'm going to tell you right now, God, the Lord loves Jerusalem, and every Christian ought to love Jerusalem. Every Christian ought to love Israel. Every Christian ought to love Jewish people. And if you don't have a love for them, you better check your salvation out. That's right. Yes, sir. They're God-given. And they gave us our Messiah. And the 40 authors, I know God wrote the book, but he used 40 Jewish authors, people to pen it. I know it's all God, don't miss, but he used Jewish people to record it. How many are still with me? So don't look down on the Jewish people. And they got to be saved just like you and I. Jesus died just as much for their sins as he did ours. But the Bible teaches in Romans, and I'm not teaching it tonight, but blindness in part has happened to Israel. And this lucky thing, and you took my Romans class, we Gentiles, we from the West Virginia hills, we're lucky. We've been grafted in. And had not the Jews rejected their Messiah, we wouldn't have had one. And so don't be mad at them. Say, boy, I thank God you made it possible for me to get in the family of God. That's why the Bible says, be not high-minded over there in Romans chapter 10 and 11. He says, If I didn't take the branches, I can really. You're just a wild thing I grafted in. I'm gonna tell you right now, it's an honor to be saved. Amen. It's a privilege to be part of the family of God. Amen. Well, I just want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes, and I'm just to be honest with you, I'm not going to preach a lot, and I'm gonna if you'll allow me, I'm gonna read portions of the scriptures to you. Because you could go on forever with Jerusalem. I would need a 3-week seminar here every day. But the Lord put this in my heart, and I just want to say, I want you to love Israel like your preacher loves him. Oh, it's a special place. Ruthie, I was talking, my goal before the rapture is I hope someday I get to go to the nation of Israel. I'd love to walk the streets of Jerusalem. They say you're never the same after you go there, and I'd like to go. That's going to be one of my big goals in my life, if the Lord will let me out. Someday I'm going to go to Israel, and Rosie don't want to go, but I sure do. Amen. She don't like flying, but I'm going. Amen. And well, let's stand for the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 23. Glad you're here. I know it's Father's Day. A lot of people are gone. Good to see each one of you. Good singing today. Enjoyed all the special singing. I must have preached tired this morning, Bobby, because I went home exhausted. I mean, I was literally, the old man was tired. So I must have got pretty excited while I was preaching this morning. I don't have that engine to fire back tonight, so you're lucky. But I want to just have a sweetness here with you tonight. You know, my kids all wish me happy Father's Day, and my grandkids. And Heavenly Father, happy Father's Day. Amen. You know, thank God for our Savior. I'm glad we have a Heavenly Father in heaven that loves us. If you kids, you grandkids haven't told your grandparents or your mom and daddy that you loved them, thank God for them yet today. Make sure before the day's out you go to them. Go to your dad and say, hey, Dad, I'm really glad you're my dad. I want to tell you I love you. And I think that's important that we do those things. I didn't see your dad today, Josh. Is he not feeling well? Yeah. I missed him. Tell Mike I thought about him. I missed him this morning. Let's look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 through 39. These are the words that Christ spoke as he looked over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Try to get the spirit of Christ here. I know we can't get that, but try to get the thought. I mean, Christ is really bearing out his heart here. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee to gather thy children together, even as a hen gathered chicks under her wings, and ye would not. You ever try to hold your kids, and the kids ran up and say, no, you're not going to get to hug me? Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall see. Till you shall say, and they will, when he's coming down that white horse, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He'll be going to Jerusalem, Mark, and that gate's going to open up. The mortar and all the bricks, they're going to bust wide open. And I believe there's going to be a hallelujah chorus. I believe that, you know, I can't prove it, but I believe it's going to be a triumphant entry. We're going to be with him, behind him. And I believe we're going to be cheering. I believe we're going to be saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to the King. Because he is the King of Kings. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for loving us today. I want to tell you we love you, Father. And Lord, we want to thank you for that special city called Jerusalem. A city that's going to be an eternal city. A holy city. The city of God. Help us to love the people and the place, and especially the person that means so much, our Savior. Help me tonight to be a blessing to our people. Help the young ones here. Oh God, Holy Spirit, work in the young people's heart today. The closer we get to Christ, the more hatred there'll be. We need people, young people, to have a deep, deep love within themselves for Israel. Help them to get great love for the nation Israel and the people of Israel and the city of God, Jerusalem. So there'll always be people standing up in America saying, no, that's a people in a place that we want to stand with forever. Help us tonight. Help me be a blessing. Help me to do your work. Help me to do it well. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We read here, as Jesus lamented over Jerusalem, his heart went out to the Jewish people and to the city of Jerusalem. Listen, Jesus knew, Eddie, he knew the plight of the Jews. He knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew that Jewish people would reject him and that he would soon hear, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" He knew he'd hear those words. Jesus knew he would be put to a cruel death at Calvary's cross. But he also knew he'd be raised in that third day. Amen? Jesus knew that approximately 37 years after his death, the city of Jerusalem would be destroyed by the Roman government. The Roman army came in with General Titus and destroyed Jerusalem. And although they were not, they burnt down the temple, the second temple. By the way, that temple just was completed about 65 A.D., and they destroyed it in 70 A.D. That second temple only got to last for 5 years. And Billy, the soldiers went in different, and they just put fire all through the temple. They literally burned it down to nothing. They and Jerusalem, darling, the government of Rome, they literally destroyed the city. It was just destroyed. And the people were scattered all over the earth. For almost 2,000 years, they've been scattered around the earth. And then in 1914, England helped them too, by the way, the Balfour. They said, let's recognize them, England and America. They said, they need to have a homeland again. Can you imagine not having a homeland for almost 2,000 years? They were scattered all over the world, but they didn't have a homeland. Matter of fact, when you really looked at that 70 A.D., the Roman government destroyed Jerusalem. Then around 132 A.D., there was a false Messiah. And they were worried about him. And so they killed him and they destroyed it again, even though there wasn't a whole lot to destroy, but they destroyed it. And then after that, for over 200 years, over 200 years after that, they didn't even let a Jew come into that city. They weren't even allowed to be there. Oh, you got to just study the history of Jerusalem. 27 times people have attacked and stuff. Too much to go in tonight. Maybe someday I'll do a series maybe on Wednesday nights or something on Jerusalem. It's really interesting. But see, when they went back, and ladies and gentlemen, what you young people got to see is this. In 1948, of May of 1948, the Jewish people, they were allowed to raise their flag, the Star of David, and they became a nation. They said, Israel is our nation once again. It's the first time they had a nation in over 2,000 years. And then in 1967, in the Six-Day War, where 3 million Jews beat over 300 million and pushed them in the sea. And they could have kept going, but God, they stopped at the Mediterranean Sea. Arlene, they could have kept right on going. Oh, God's good, isn't he? If you don't have faith in God, just to watch Israel, you'll know there's a God in heaven. But see, in 1967, they got in a six-day war. Six the number of man. And the first time in almost 2,000 years, they had control of Jerusalem. That's really important. Because Jesus said, you'll know that I'm coming back when summer, you'll know that summer's nigh. And when it starts to bud, well, that was the budding of the nation of Israel again. How many are still with me? He said in Luke chapter 21, verse 20, don't turn to it. He prophesied, Bobby, that Jerusalem would be destroyed. And so they were destroyed. And for years and years, century after century, the Jewish people went to Russia and they went to different parts of the world. There's a lot of Jewish people in Russia. They're all over the place. By the way, isn't that amazing? No matter where the Jewish people went, Like, I've got all kinds of nationality, but I'm an American. No matter where the Jewish person went, they were always a Jew. Look up here. I want you to hear what the preacher's saying. They didn't even have a nation for almost 2,000 years, yet they never lost their nationality. Think about that. Their identity. Oh, that's just a Jew down there. People despised them. Got a lot of Jewish people in New York. By the way, the biggest cities in the world is New York. Wonder why? God blessed it. Hello? It's too crazy for me. I've been there once. But once was enough. It was wild. It's crazy. Those people are crazy, man. And I'm pretty keyed up, Mark, and those people scare me. Them people are nuts. They're wrecked. And they're not even on drugs. I'd have to be on drugs to be with them people down there. I'm not being on drugs, though. Don't. Listen, Jesus knew that the Jewish people would be persecuted and hated by the whole world. But Jesus also knew one day the Jewish people would return to their homeland. And he knew that one day Jerusalem would once again be in Jewish hands and Jewish power. They're not going to give it back, by the way. And he knew that one day he would return. Mark saying, and that was tremendous, Brother Mark. Jerusalem. He knew one day he'd return to that city. I'm going to, let me read a few things to you today. First of all, I want to read to you Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. In Ezekiel 36, verse 23 and 24, you don't have to, you can listen. If you want to turn, you can. If not, just sit there and listen to me. I've got a lot of scripture I want to write and read to you tonight. Ezekiel 36, 23 and 24, verses 23 and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, yeah, they hated them, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know, God said, the heathen, the Gentiles, shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God. When I shall be sanctified in you, Israel, even though you've been torn and tattered and persecuted and scattered and scorned, one day I'm going to raise you back up for one reason. To let them know that the whole world knows that there's a God in heaven. Israel's a living testimony that there's a God, a creator of heaven and earth. The nation Israel. The people of God. And I'm going to send you before their eyes. For I will, look at 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own land. And boy, they did. They asked him, Billy. They said, what? Oh, back in the early 1900s, the Jews just kept coming back to Israel. And this thing before they had a nation, and they'd say, why are you coming back? Why? And they said, there's just something inside us that says we have to come back. We have to come back. It was God literally calling the Jewish people back to Israel. It's so exciting. They couldn't even tell you why. They just said, we know we're supposed to be here. Is God doing that? Amen? And then let me read to you Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 5, about the dry bones. That's another message. That those dry bones of Ezekiel 37 is talking about the nation of Israel. Because for over 2,000 years, they didn't have a nation. Over 2,000 years, they didn't have a nation. So they were a dead nation. Hello? A dead people. The hand of the Lord was upon me, carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, there was very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Well, you know bones can't live unless God wants them to. And I answered, Lord God, he answered right, thou knowest. Because with God, nothing's impossible. Of course, these bones represent the people and the nation of Israel. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And in 1948, Israel became a nation again and raised up her flag. Can anyone say amen? And God from heaven breathed down life into a people and made a nation again, the nation of Israel. Can anyone say amen? Well, let me just read some scripture with you now. I'm going to be in Psalms, and then I'm going to be in Isaiah, and then I'm going to be in Zechariah, and I'm going to stop. Will you just listen to what preacher says about Jerusalem today? Look at Psalms 121. I'm reading 121 because I want you to see 122. But look what the psalmist says. It's, I will lift up my eyes. How many got Psalms 121? You know, some of you, this is the most Bible you're going to hear all week. I'm glad you're here to hear it. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? Look up here. You need help? You look up towards God because that's who's got help for you. Nat, when you get older, and even now, when you get in trouble, I'm going to tell you right now, God's your help. He's your helper. I know mom and dad are support groups and grandpa, but I'm going to tell you, the real helper of life is your Savior. I'll lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And by the way, he said, the Lord made the heaven and the earth. Just want to tell you who's helping me, the Creator. I don't think you can find anybody in the want ad pages that can help you more than that. I think he's the top of the list. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. He's always watching. Behold, he that keepeth Israel. Who's he keeping? Shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee that by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time and forevermore. That's not just a promise for Israel. I believe it's a promise for the child of God. Look at verse 122, verse 1. I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. He's talking about the temple. They don't have a temple right now. They're going to have one, though. Amen? He's talking about church there. You know, you ought to get excited when you're coming to God's house. Our feet shall stand within the gates. This couple here, a precious couple, they're on vacation. But every time they're out of town, they still make sure they're in church. Every Christian, even when you go out away from your home, when you're out, you ought to, like Josh, on Wednesday nights, he has a job, makes him goes to Pittsburgh and different places in the country. He said, preach, I got another church I'm going to line up for Wednesdays. So I can be in church on Wednesday. I'm glad he's doing that. Josh, I'm glad you care about being in church. I believe every child of God should be in church every time they can. Our feet shall stand within, look at this, Mark. Our feet shall stand within thy gates. Oh, Jerusalem. They are. We're going to stand. Billy, your feet are going to stand inside there. Amen? Miss Mert, one day your feet, those West Virginia feet are going to be inside the gates of Jerusalem. That's exciting. Amen? Whither thy tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of the Lord, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment and thrones of the house of David. Look what verse 6 says. Pray for the peace of what? Yeah. Look at the kids. Look at this. God gives you a promise here. Jimmy, if you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Woo! God says, if you love Israel, I'll bless you and I'll love you. Hello? I hate to be on the other side of that coin, though. Boy, I hope. Well, I better not get into that. Peace be within the walls and prosperity within the palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Can anyone say amen? Now look at Isaiah, if you want to follow with me. Isaiah 52 and verse 1. She found it. Isaiah 52:1 says, awake, awake, put on thy strength. Oh, by the way, there's thousands of verses. Preacher could have took, there's, you say, he didn't do this one verse. No, because it's already 5 minutes of seven, and I've still got 10 more verses to read to you. I could have put thousands of verses down. I just put the ones that I felt the Holy Spirit want me to write. You that teach, you that preach, you that are instructors, when you're doing your lessons, you that are school teachers, even though there's lots of things, always let the Holy Spirit tell you what to say. Yield to what the Lord would want. It's not always, but try to let the Holy Spirit yield to say, well, I'm going to use this verse, but the Lord might say, well, I'd rather have that verse. Take the one the Lord puts in your heart. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. The holy city. It's a holy city. Don't get mad at Jerusalem. It's the holy city of God. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. This is a prophecy. Now, we ain't even got time, but if you'll write Revelation 21:27 there, when we get into eternity, God says he's not going to let any unclean anything come into the city. And that's actually a prophecy of the coming of New Jerusalem. Isn't that exciting? Revelation 21:27. Look at Isaiah chapter 62. I got to keep moving. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7 and verse 12. Isaiah 62:6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silent. You need to tell people, God loves Israel and so do I. And you stinking politicians, keep your hands off Israel. I tell you, I ain't got a time of day for one of those birds that want to give Israel away and put a judgment on Israel. Right. Vote them out. Amen. Run them out of the rail. I wish I was. Boy, you're lucky I'm not God. They'd be smited out. I'd like to put tar and feather and run them out of Washington. and give him no rest till he established, till he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And one day, right now it's cursed. Right now people look down on Jerusalem. But one day, look up here, kids. One day, the whole world, those that are going to be alive, they're going to praise Jerusalem. Yeah. It's going to be the, now it's the cursing of the world. One day, it'll be the praising of the world. Isn't that exciting? Look at verse 12. And they shall call them the holy people. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. For thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Amen. Woo! God says, you better watch out. You might think I forsook it, but I'm not. I got my eye on it. If his eye's on the sparrow, he's sure got his eye on Jerusalem. Amen? How many can say amen? Look at Isaiah 66:10. This is a beautiful verse. Isaiah 66:10. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem. I'm in Isaiah 66:10. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Do you love Israel? Do Do you love the people of Israel? You ought to love them. And all ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her. I want to tell you right now, God over and over says, I love Jerusalem, I love the people of Israel, and I want you to love them too. You ever notice something? If you like my children and you like my grandkids, you know what? I have a warm feeling towards you. But if you don't like my kids, sometimes it's hard for me to like you. Hello? And if you hurt my kids, I'm going to hurt you. I'm saying that for a reason. God's watching over. You hurt Israel? Watch out. God's going to hurt you for hurting them. I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. Amen? Now, that's if you believe the Bible like I do. I believe the King James Bible is pure word of God. Inspired, preserved, everlasting. Amen? And Preacher Dave, I just believe when God says something, he means it. Amen? Now, just keep turning up to the couple more books, up to the book of Zechariah, and I'm gonna read, and then I'm gonna stop. But now, don't get excited. I got 10 verses to read before I stop. But if you're in Zechariah, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 verses to read to you, and then we're gonna pray. Zechariah chapter 2. Just keep going towards, if you were in Isaiah, just keep going towards Matthew. You'll find it. Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 8. For thus said the Lord. By the way, when God says it, that's all that matters. For thus said the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, and he that toucheth you touches the apple of his eye. God says, you better watch out, buckle. You mess with my kids, you mess with my place, I'm going to rip your stinking face off. Now, he don't say that. That's me. But it kind of implies that, okay? But, in other words, he said, you're messing with something that's important to me. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to thy servants, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Look what it says there. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. He's coming back. First, he's going to come back for us in the rapture and call us up and give us brand new bodies. And the way mine's going, I need one real quick. But then he's coming back in his revelation 7 years later. For Israel. Can anyone say amen? Amen? And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee, and the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the holy land. It's holy, buddy. And he shall choose what? Jerusalem again. And so his choice is Jerusalem. Now, look at chapter 3 and verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, I like this. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen what? Hey, Satan, you better stay away from my city that I love. Look up here. You got to get this. I'm trying to teach you something here tonight. Why do you think there's such hatred? There's no reason. There's really no logical reason why people of the world should hate Jerusalem and should hate Israel. There's no, I mean, they're just a tiny little speck of people. 5-6 million people, there ain't that many people. And a little tiny speck of land. I don't even think it's big as New Jersey. How many are with me? I'll tell you why. Because there's a satanic spirit that goes off through all this whole world, says hate Israel, hate the Jews, hate Jerusalem. Hello? And it attacks the minds of people. And it's from Satan himself. Hello? And unless you're a saved person, I'm going to tell you, you say, how can those unsaved people, they don't have the Spirit of God, and they're under an influence of a higher, a dark power. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, the Bible says, but principalities. Amen? Look at Zechariah chapter 7, verse 14. 7:14. But I scattered them. Remember I read Ezekiel? Boy, doesn't God keep his promise, Brother Coolidge? People gave up on Israel, but God never did. Just his timing. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. They didn't. They didn't know. They just went to every parts of the world. Thus the land was desolate, and it was after them that no man passed through, no return, for they laid the pleasant land desolate, and it was for a while. But it isn't desolate no more, is it? Because the Lord brought them back. Can anyone say amen? Look at chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion. In great jealousy, I was jealous for her with great fury. In other words, God says, hey, man, I really love that city. Don't be messing with it. I'm jealous over it. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of where? Yeah, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you that. That's exactly what echoes in the halls of heaven, Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the what? City of truth. And the mountain of the Lord of hosts, of the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff and his hand for every age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in thy eyes of the remnant of the people in these days, should it be marvelous in my eyes? Saith the Lord, yes, it should be. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. And I will, look at verse 8. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. One day the Jewish people will take, sis, you and Jack, we've already taken Christ as our Savior. One day they're going to take him as their Messiah. It won't be to the end of the trib, but they're going to take him as their Messiah, as a whole nation. Now, there's still a few Jews getting saved, but as a nation, when Christ comes back in his revelation, as a collective group, that nation is going to receive Christ as their Messiah when he comes back in his revelation. Can anyone say amen? Now, the Jewish people, there's still some Jewish people getting saved today, but as a collective, when he comes back in his revelation, they're going to take him as their Messiah. It's exciting. Are you still in Zechariah? Look at 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh. Boy, when Mark was singing, I could picture Jesus on that white horse coming right down, right through that special gate. Are you with me? And he is just and having salvation, lowly. And, of course, this right here is a prophecy. This was prophecy when Christ, the first time he came. Lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt. Remember when he first came? They didn't believe their Bible because he did exactly what he said he was going to do. This was a prophecy of Christ when he came the first time. Are you still with me? Because I'm going to give you a prophecy coming up here in just a little bit. I'm going to get excited, Billy. That's going to be a yabba dabba do scripture. Look at chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. But when we get to 14, it's all going to hang out. I can't wait to get to chapter 14. It's one of my favorites. Look at chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The burden of the word of the Lord. For who? Hey, all you idiots up there in the White House, you better read this book. All you dumb bunnies. God cares for Israel. We're not giving back no land. Matter of fact, we're going to take back more. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, thus saith the Lord, which stretch forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Hey, you idiots up there in Capitol Hill, the very one that's given you life, you dummy, formed Israel. Wow! Boy, I wish they could get this message tonight. I'd like to shake the whole bunch of them up, wouldn't you? I mean, I'm talking about Republicans and everybody. They all need a little shaking up about the Word of God. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling upon all the people around. At the very end of the trip, Bobby, all the nations will be around Israel, be around Jerusalem to destroy them. And then the Calvary comes. Dun, 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 in Revelation 19. Dun, 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 the horns are blowing on the horses. Remember John Wayne and all the Calvary? That's exactly where they got it from, the Bible. Long before John Wayne. Just about the time they're ready to give up at the end, Bill, Jesus is going to come from heaven. And the Calvary, the saints of God, thousands of us, riding white horses, the Bible teaches in Jude. We're going to be coming right behind him in Revelation 19. How many are with me? It's exciting. I don't know if Jack's going to be playing the bugle or not, but I'll tell you, we're going to be coming. Behold, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling and all the people round about, and they shall be in siege both to Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone, and all the people and all the burden themselves shall be cut in pieces through all the people of the earth, be gathered together against it. And if you, the Bible says in Revelation 16:16, and he gathered them all in a place called Armageddon. And how many, Armageddon, how many remember that? This is what that's talking about. At the end of the trib, when God comes back in Armageddon. Hello? How many are with me? Oh, it's exciting. Now, look at verse 8 and 9. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He that is feeble among them in all that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord, and it shall come to pass. But what did David do? He killed a giant with a stone. And it came to pass, and it always does, by the way, in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. Hey, you idiots up there, any nation that goes against Israel is going to be destroyed. Hello? I like America the way it is. I like God bless America. We need some old-fashioned preaching, some old-fashioned patriotism, and some old-fashioned God. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord. Psalms 33:12. Then look at the last verse. Look at 13:1. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Carl, the people of Israel are going to take their Messiah. That's talking about them getting saved. Just like you and I. Hello? Look what it says there. In that day, the day Christ comes back in his revelation. We've already been with him, Jan, for 7 years. We've got brand new glorified bodies. But when we come back to the earth with him in his revelation, there's still going to be people on this earth. They went through that great 7 years called the tribulation. Worst time the world's ever going to see. How many are still with preacher? In that day shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. They're going to come and say, Jesus, we want you. We messed up the first time you came, but we're taking you now as our Messiah. And the nation of Israel is literally, collectively, going to literally take Christ as their Messiah. That's exciting. One more and I'm done. Chapter 14. Boy, look at 14:1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh.
People say, I don't believe he's coming back. It doesn't matter if you believe or not, he's coming. I know there's idiots calling days that, you can't, don't get caught up with those bird brains. Even Jesus said, I've got good speech, don't I? I've been doing it for 60 some years. I might as well not change now, huh, Lizzie? I'm just a porcupine preacher. I preach so people get the point. Amen. Behold the day. You know where I was now. Behold the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken. By the way, you can put Revelation 19 there. If you follow in Revelation 19, starting from verse 11, you got Christ coming down. Whoa, boy. Yabba dabba doo. And the house is ripe when the woman ravaged, and half the city shall be gone forth in the captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. When he fought in the day of the battle, and you read Revelation 19, you'll see what he does. And his feet, I like this, yappa dappa doo. And his feet, you can write Acts chapter 1, right around verse 10 there. Because after Jesus went up, Lori, he walked outside the Mount of Olives, and he went up. And those disciples, they were there like you. Holy mackerel. Wow, and their jaws were hanging down. And those angels in Acts chapter 1 said, why ye stand up gazing, this same Christ that left you, he's coming back in the same manner. I believe this with all my heart. If you don't want to believe it, you don't have to, but you'll be wrong not to believe it. But I believe with all my heart, Phil, the very spot that Jesus' foot left, I believe the very spot, D, that his foot left on the Mount of Olives, I believe when he comes down, it's going to touch that very spot. And when it does, there's going to be a huge earthquake. Man, look at that verse. Man, this is so cool. Acts, and you can find this in Acts 1, 11, and 12 about him going up. And it's Acts 1, verse 11 and 12. But right now I'm in Zechariah 14, 4. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave the moment his foot touches. You've heard the story. They were going to build like a Holiday Inn. They actually were going to build a Holiday Inn on there, and they got all those people that do all the checking for the ground, and they said, wait, we wouldn't advise you to build it. This thing's ready to have an earthquake. It is. It's waiting for the foot of Jesus. They were smart. They didn't build it. And in the Mount of Olives shall the cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and a half of the towards the south. Wow. Can you imagine that? Whew. The earth opening up, shaking, and here comes the King of Glory. Here comes the Prince of Peace. Here comes the mighty God. Abba, Father. How many can say amen? I'm going to tell you, here he comes. Here he comes. Here come the judge. Here comes the real thing. Uh-huh. He's coming. And when he does, the world's going to shake. And look what it goes on to say, and I'll stop. Look at verse 8 and 9. And it shall be in that day that living waters... Who is the living water? Christ. Living water shall go out from Jerusalem. He told that lady, you drink of my water, you'll never thirst again. The Gospel of John. Living water shall go out from Ravenna, Ohio. No. From Washington, D.C. No. Where's it going out from? Jerusalem. Living waters are coming from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, half towards the hinder sea. In the summer and in the winter shall it be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. And there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Boy, they'll be singing Jerusalem. Jerusalem, lift up your voice and sing. I'm going to tell you. You want to read about this? Read Revelation chapter 19. That's when he's coming back. And then for 1,000 years after this, kids, there'll be 1,000 years called the millennium, the kingdom age. Millennium means 1,000. And for 1,000 years, Christ will rule and reign on this earth. Then he's going to throw Satan in hell and all that don't know him in hell. And then he's going to make a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. He's going to burn this one up. He's going to purge it. Amen? And then he's going to give us a brand new heaven, new earth. Satan's going to be gone forever. Hallelujah. We're going to see our loved ones that are already there in heaven. And he's going to give us brand new bodies. And we're going to be with those loved ones that we miss so much forever and ever. And nothing can take us apart. It's so exciting. And it all comes through the city of Jerusalem. Learn to love Jerusalem. It's the key to your future. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. And Lord, I do love you, Lord, and I want to thank you for that special city. I know I'm going to get to be in it in eternity, and I know during the millennium I'm going to be there. But if it's possible, I'd like to see it before the rapture. But your will be done in my life. But I just want to tell you, we love you, and we thank you for the people of Israel, and we love Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless them today. Watch over them. Help them to build that third temple. Lord, I'm excited. Help them to build that third temple. And Lord, put a bind on all those that would go against them. God, I just pray that Christians all through America and all over the world would band together for the cause of Christ, and they would stand firm with Israel and Jerusalem, the wonderful, beautiful city of God. Help us to love that city and the God and the Messiah that's going to be coming there to restore it. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. I wonder if their heads bowed and their eyes closed before we go home tonight. How many could say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I've been saved and I know it. I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put him down. Maybe you're hearing you say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I really don't know if I died, if I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die in my sins and go to hell. Pastor, would you pray for me? Pray for me. I want to be able to go to heaven. I want to go to that streets of gold. I want to go to that new Jerusalem. I've never asked Christ to save my soul. And I'd sure like to be part of that special time when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. And I want to live forever with him and not in hell with Satan. Pray for anyone like that today. Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Just lift your hand and put it back down. I won't come, you won't embarrass you. Pray for you. Anyone like that tonight? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to be sure. Pray for me. Now, no one's looking. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But Bethel, love Israel. Stand up for Israel and the people of Israel. And stand up for the city of Jerusalem. And when people talk bad about it, don't laugh and say, yeah, you're right. Say, no, you're wrong. Most people, they do it because they're under influence of power of darkness. They don't even know the truth of the Bible. You ought to just, next time you hear people crack a joke about them, say, do you know God loves that city? Those people? Did you know that the Bible says that Jerusalem and the people of Israel are the apple of God's eye? You start telling how much God loves them, you might get those people saved. Because they'll say, man, I didn't know that. It might put them under conviction to get saved. But maybe you're saying you've got some, lately you've not been really standing for Israel. Maybe you've been thinking, oh, maybe those Jews are causing all the trouble. They're not causing the trouble. And if you've entertained that thought, you've entertained Satan and his darkness, because the Jews are not the problem. It's the people around them that are the problem, and Satan. pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God will bless those that pray for that. Heavenly Father, help us, Father, please. Help us in these last years before you come to do all we can for the cause of Christ. And help my people to love Israel. Help my people to love the Jewish people. Help them to see how important the city of Jerusalem is. Oh, a city called the City of God. And by the way, we that are saved, we're called the children of God. Help us to be a guiding and a light that would help those in darkness, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's